Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. I finished 20 sessions on Sacred Purpose Trusts, and for a real quick recap, there's so much to understand, there's so much to contemplate in this, and we haven't been thinking in these terms. You know, the word mammon actually means entrusted wealth. From the garden, it said, dress it and keep it. That's a trust. And those are the terms of the trust. You know, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but eat of the tree of life, which is just saying, don't try to decide for yourself, but listen to the Holy Spirit. That's actually what the tree of life is. It's this quantum connection between you and the Holy Spirit. Somebody sent me thing on a quantum energy generator. People don't understand. You know, it's amazing when I start these shows, I've got some notes usually I have laid out in front of me, but all of a sudden I'll just veer completely off these notes and go somewhere else. And that seems to be what we're doing. But, you know, quantum, it's a fairly recently coined term, and it had to do with the interaction between different objects or entities, and that interaction was measured, and they talk about it being quantum, you know, talking about particles within an atom and photons and the energy of binding these electrons within this atom. And so they measure that and they call that quantum. And then the word takes on more meanings in quantum theory and quantum field and all this stuff. And so somebody sent one of the things that they sent was a PDF on how to build a quantum generator, which is supposedly fashioned after something that Nikola Tesla did, although what he had done was linear and this is rotary, which is a huge jump. And this idea of quantum, you know, it's fascinating because in quantum experiments, they do things like, you know, people thinking about something way on the other side of the planet or maybe on the planet and somebody else in space, and they're talking about somehow there's a connection, an interaction that is not subject to distance in space, where there's this instant connection between you and another realm or somebody in a distant part of the realm. And they think that that connection is actually through additional parallel realms. You know, like if there's an event on the sun, you know, even at the speed of light, it takes a little bit of time to get here. And yet we see events on the sun that are almost instantaneously affecting Earth space environment occasionally. And they say, well, how is that possible? They see in these huge accelerators where electrons seem to appear out of nowhere and then disappear into nowhere. And this is part of why they come to the idea that there are parallel universes. Well, speaking about parallel universes, from a biblical standpoint, we would use terms like heaven and hell. That heaven is all around. Pull back the veil and you see something here. There's a veil, a membrane, and they actually call it the membrane theory, between us and these other realms we call heaven and hell. Well, in heaven, there's this idea of love and compassion and forgiveness and giving of life. This is a different spirit than what we see in hell. In hell, we see pecking order, command, authority, taking, ruling, dog-eat-dog. Maybe very well organized at times, but it is this top-down, rule-over-you mentality, spirit. And we are caught between those two worlds. And there is a quantum connection, interaction, between us and those two worlds. And is manifested in how we live our lives. Are we interested in pecking order? Or do you easily take offense? Do you interpret what other people say as an offense, even though they didn't really say anything against you? They were just trying to explain something. But you take it as an offense because it affects you in a proud sort of way. That shows evidence of a quantum connection to hell, because you're in the pecking order, ruling one over another, exercising authority one over the other mentality. And that interaction with that concept draws you to hell, binds you to hell, connects you, creates a relationship to that other realm. You see, because we're being pulled between these two realms. How do you draw near the realm of God? Well, they have a word in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, that means to draw near. And it is most often translated things like sacrifice. Because that word to sacrifice means to draw near. Why? Because God gives up his life to you, he gives it to you freely. The tree of life, he gives it to you freely so that you may have life more abundant. Do you in turn go give life to others freely so that they have life more abundant? If you are a husband and wife and you are producing children and you are raising those children, I always tease my daughter. She said that she wanted to get married and have a life of her own. I said, if you want to have a life of your own, don't get married. Because the mere act of marriage is to give up your life. I mean, true marriage. Matrimony under God is to give up your life. You give up your life for your children. She actually is a real good mother. She's always dedicating her time and her energy to her children. But that's what you really want, is a life that you can give up for others, because that's the character of God. Character of Satan is that you want life, to have more life to take from others. So what spirit do you see manifested in your world today? Are people giving in love to one another? Are they taking from one another through men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority? And somebody wrote me what they said, little good news, my fellow warriors resisting the tyranny of Fedzilla, rejoice with me. And then they go on and say, we were able to get the unlawful, unenforceable levy off of an individual, social security check, and the deduction stopped. A victory for sure. And I wrote them back and asked them, I says, well, what are you going to do about the fact that receiving the Social Security benefit is putting a debt of burden, a burden of debt upon your children and your grandchildren, because the system is bankrupt. You see, the Social Security system has been totally bankrupt because there is no separation of funds. We talk about, well, Social Security is still solvent. It is not. The Supreme Court has ruled over and over again, there is no separation of funds except on bookkeeping ledgers. But the reality is, if the government is operating in the red, Social Security is operating in the red. And this is law. This isn't something that, you know, that the newspapers tell you, but it's the law. This is what is coming down from your mountaintop. So every benefit you receive from the government increases debt, and your children are surety for that debt. You registered them for benefits, they're responsible for the debt. And so they're worried about the tyranny of Fedzilla. What about the tyranny of the beast in your own heart when you want to force your neighbor and your neighbor's children and grandchildren to pay for your benefits? Now, I'm not telling you that stop getting your Social Security check. Just realize that you're eating at the table of men who exercise authority, and they give you nothing except what they take away from others. And the fact that you paid in, that was your offering. That's what you gave to the gods of your world, and they squandered it. You bet on the wrong horse. I'm sorry. You lost. But now when you eat, continually eat at that table with an appetite, and you don't put a knife, you know, Proverbs tells you, if you sit and eat with a ruler, put a knife to your throat. You need to be seeking a way to get off those benefits. And if not for you, for your children, seeking ways that your children will not have to eat at that table of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You need to start working to set the table of the Lord. The churches haven't done that. They got their big screen TV and their comfortable seats and their air-conditioned buildings and their crystal cathedrals and whatever. But they don't set the table of the Lord. If you need actual bread from house to house, they tell you to go get an EBT card. Contrary to the ways of Christ. Modern Christians are not following the ways of Christ. So therefore, they are not followers of Christ. And so if you tell me that the word Christian means a follower of Christ and you're not following the ways of Christ, then you take that name in vain. I have people I know that won't even use the word Christian anymore. They say, I'm not a Christian, because they've allowed Christ's name to be redefined as someone who prays to men who call themselves benefactors but exercises authority one over the other, and a Christian doesn't do that. They were killed because they refused to do that. This is why they were persecuted. This is why they were fed to lions. It's because they would not sign up for the state's social welfare because it was run by men who called themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. They wouldn't do that. You do it and call yourself a Christian. It's an abomination. It's a falsehood. You do contrary to the ways of Christ. You conform to the ways of the world. Somebody said, well, you know, like they think of His Holy Church as like we're starting some new religion. We're not even starting a church. We don't ever start churches. There's one church, and that's the church that does what Christ says. We're just trying to figure out how to conform to Christ. How do we do it Christ's way? We're supposed to be a corpus of Christ, a body of Christ, serving Christ, fulfilling His purposes. Are we doing that? I know that it's not fulfilling His purposes to get you a big screen TV in your church and a sound system and make you feel good every time you come to church. I know that being a doer of the word has to do with pure religion, taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. But how do you do that? Especially how do you do that amongst Christians who have been apathetic for so long? You know, it's like rudimentary muscles. You know, some people can wiggle their ears. Other people, they can't wiggle their ears. The muscles that do that are gone. You know, if you ride a horse and, you know, every time I'd ride a new horse and, you know, I'd make a little noise, you know, like, you know, all of a sudden you see his ears come back around. Listen. You know, like little periscopes, you know, or, you know, little radar things like, what's that mean? Why do you make that noise? You know, when you ride a horse, most of the communication is through your legs and how you sit. He knows that when you take a certain position in the seat, you're about to go giddy up. And he'll tense up. There's a great video, I seen it years ago on the internet, of a lady who teaches her horse without reins, without a saddle. She just sits on it and goes out there. And that horse runs out, stops, turns around to the right, turns around to the left, does circles, you know, backs up, everything. And her hands are outstretched. She doesn't use reins. She's just training them. And the horse she wins this particular contest with, she's only had for a few months. And she's taught this horse that well. Amazing. No reins whatsoever. just goes out and does it without the reins because he feels the signals through her feet and her legs. Now, when you though, go out into the world, you need somebody to put a bit in your mouth and make you go left and right and, oh, time to give so that we can have enough money to take care of the needy of society. And that they even have a little ramal there for whipping you. Time to give to the needy of society. That's the religion you have chosen. That is how you have chosen to take care of the needy of your society, through men who exercise authority one over the other, contrary to the ways of Christ. You go to church, but you're not doing anything that Christ said. You're singing. You're reading it, but you're not seeing it. Christ said you had to be a doer of the word. You're a doer of the world of Satan. You're quantumly connected, spiritually connected to the ways of Satan, of the beast. Your churches are the synagogues, the churches of Satan, because you do not bind yourselves together with love for one another. You bind yourselves together with covenants and contracts and agreements with the temple of Satan to exercise authority one over the other, to provide you with security, social security. You've chosen that way. Now, the question is, did you choose that way out of ignorance or because you really love that way? Because if you don't love that way, and this person who sent me this about Fedzilla, they don't love that way. But the question occurs to me, do you love the ways of Christ? Do you want to help take care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity? Do you come to serve? Or do you gather the churches? Well, I don't like that church. It doesn't do anything for me. So, well, good. It doesn't make you feel good? Well, that's not the job of the church, to make you feel good. It's to facilitate you doing good. That's the job of the church. It is to be the benefactors who don't exercise authority. But that only works with people who come to serve, not be served. Your churches have weakened the poor. Your state religions have weakened the poor. In a time of affluence, they do not strengthen the poor. They weaken them until you're fit for nothing but despots to rule over you. Christians, real Christians, should and would want to turn around and begin to seek the ways of Christ and the prophets by forming charitable systems of voluntarily helping one another. Systems that are anarchical. In other words, they have no exercising authority. They are benefactors who operate by faith, hope, and charity. Once people understand the simplicity of the gospel, we should be just inundated with charitable people. But unfortunately, we're often inundated with people who are fellow warriors against Fedzilla, but not lovers of Christ. Oh, they're lovers of an idea of Christ, but they miss the whole gospel. Social welfare by men who exercise authority is contrary to Christ. In Luke 22:25, he says, "And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, the presidents, the prime ministers of the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so." And when Christians took care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, they were persecuted to the point where in 160 AD, they outlawed foreign religions. You had to join the social welfare system of Caesar. If you didn't, they burned you at the stake or fed you to the lions. That was the beast then. That beast eventually collapsed. Even though Christianity was only 5% of the Roman Empire, They knew that there was something there, and so they tried to emulate it, but they didn't really repent entirely. They created the Church of Constantine. And eventually that church rose up 1,000 years after the fall of Jerusalem and began to destroy by the millions everybody who wanted to practice the true ways of Christ through faith, hope, and charity. They drove them from their homes naked into the snow. They murdered them. They burned them at stake. They impaled them until the ways of righteousness were not even spoken of. And then they interpreted the Bible so that you would not see this, but it's right there. What part of "but ye shall not be so" do you not understand? But yet you are so. You pray to those men who call themselves benefactors. You say, "Yes, go out, exercise authority over my neighbor. Gather from them the funds that you will need to take care of me. Because I paid in, I sacrificed on your altars. And I want the genius of Caesar to force my neighbor to contribute. And my neighbor's children and grandchildren, because I know you're in debt." And you call yourself a Christian? You defy Christ. You spit in the face of Christ. And so therefore you have to make up a Christ to believe in. Well, so be it. I call you to repentance. If you understand now that you have entered into a covetous system with the fathers of the earth and you pray to them for your daily bread, then repent of that. Gather together. Start to exercise those rudimentary muscles of righteousness. Start wiggling your ears, folks. Start listening to the ways of God. Stop eating of the tree of knowledge. All the information I give out in the books that we give out, the articles we give out, that's simply to counterbalance the knowledge that is false that you have already accepted. That knowledge is not your salvation. The salvation is to eat of the tree of life. Start moving from that. It will guide you. But if you will not eat from that tree, you will perish. So it's time to repent. That system that you belong to now, is rooted in covetousness, and it has made you merchandise. And it is time to turn around and go back the other way. We'll be right back and start talking about how to do that.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, "They are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights." Nor did Jefferson write, "They are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights." Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything, and we will always maintain access to these natural law, unalienable rights endowed by God. Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep his inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep his laws, do his will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to him and his government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws, and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways, and in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government, in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the systems of the world and the systems of Christ. The system of the world is rooted in covetousness, and the system of Christ is rooted in charity. In charity, you sacrifice, which again, remember, is the Hebrew word that means, or comes from the word that means to draw near. So charity is given, freely given, burnt up to you, given entirely. No strings attached, freely given. No obligation. You give and only have a hope that others will give to you. It's all you have is hope, because you do this in charity and hope through faith. In the world, you give and you think they owe you. Which idea is from hell, the realm of hell, and which idea, concept, precept, is from the realm of heaven? If you think, they owe me, I paid in, you draw near hell with that argument. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying this is what it is. That thinking is out of Satan's realm. And if you think like Satan, it draws you near Satan. He's comfortable with you. You're comfortable with him. You're comfortable with each other. He is your comforter. But if you say, no, I gave you that. You don't owe me anything. I gave that away to take care of the needy of society at the time. It's yours. You squandered it? Oh, I'm ashamed. I'm sorry that you squandered it. But you don't owe me anything. I gave that out of love for my neighbor. You see, but we that rudimentary muscle in society is dead in most people. I paid in. You got to pay me back. Even though you don't have it, take it from some kid. Take it from some unborn child. Put him in debt. I'll be dead and he'll still be paying it off, but I want my stuff now. So, is that Christ or is that Satan? You tell me who you are drawing near. Who are you creating a quantum connection with? What realm are you aligning yourself and aligning yourself with? You tell me. You see, this is the keys to the kingdom. You got to know what door you're unlocking. You see, because if you're going the ways of Satan, you're unlocking his door. And you're using the keys to his kingdom. And you are making a connection to his quantum reality. And he will commune with you. And he will bless you with all his blessings. And you will bear his fruit. And you will try to rule over others like he wants to rule over others. And you will say to him, he is a god. And you will do it if he just makes you feel good. But if you want to open the keys to the kingdom of God, you must sacrifice. You must forgive. You must freely give. You must be a giver of life, because you are eating of the tree of life and that nature is in you. You will not be covetous of thy neighbor's house. Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You don't want it. You don't covet it. You don't say, I want a piece of him. I want to take a bite out of him. You won't do that. if you are a keeper of the commandments. If you love Christ, you will keep his commandments. Are you doing that or are you not? Mark 7:22, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the desire for benefits, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. How can those things come out of somebody who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him? Say, oh, we're not perfect, oh, we'll sin. Christ is not in you. An image of Christ that you have created or somebody helped you create is in you, but not the Christ. Because we would see the spirit of the Christ coming out in the things that you do. This is why so many people who say they are Christians, he will say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. And so many of you who don't even know you're Christians, he'll say, come in. And he tells you why he says, come in. Because you fed me and you clothed me and you visited me when I was in prison. And they said, well, when did we do these things? When you did them for the least of my brethren. Who was his brethren? Those who are doing the will of the Father. Not those who have a card-carrying member of some church. But those who are actually doing the will of the Father. He who doeth the will of my Father is my mother and my brother. That's his brethren. So if your pastor's up there tickling your ears, he's probably not the brethren of Christ. Because Christ says, the Bible tells us, as many as I love, I also rebuke. And I'm rebuking you. You have entered into covenants with systems where men who exercise authority provide you with benefits at the expense of your neighbor, contrary to the words of Christ, clearly in Luke 22:25, clearly in Exodus 20:17, clearly in Mark 7:22, clearly in Romans 7:7, which says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, lust, I thought that was about sex. No. He said, thou shalt not covet. Lust, desire, what is your neighbor's wife. Doesn't mean you have to have conjugal relationships with his wife. You just want the service of his wife. You want the service of his children. You want the service of his grandchildren. And when you apply for benefits from a bankrupt system, that's what you're saying. I covet my neighbor's wife and my neighbor's children and grandchildren because I want them to pay for my benefits because I want them now. Because I gave in, I want them now. An argument born in hell. And you can discuss it when you get there. So, anyway, with the others who think, yeah, right. Romans 13:9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. That means not adulterate oneself. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How is it loving your unborn children of your neighbor to place them further in debt by your fiscal responsibility? Best you live in a shack on a diet than to ask men to take away from the unborn for your benefit. Because you bet on the wrong horse. You bet on thieves and robbers, and they have stolen away the treasury, the Corbin of the people that makes the word of God to none effect. You need the Word of God being made effect in your life. We become used to taking from our neighbor through these institutions that exercise authority. We create ourselves, for ourselves, by our own hands. We become so used to that until we are consumed by the spirit, that covetous spirit of greed, which opposes Christ. And so that we can no longer even see what is righteous. We are overwhelmed with unrighteousness, but we have become comfortable with it. In Galatians 5:15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. People see abortion as a problem, and there's people out there trying to make it so that no tax funds will go to support abortion. They can't seem to outlaw it, so they want no tax funds. They don't want to be forced to support it. And they can certainly try, but you're not thinking quantum. You see, you're already eating the unborn. With every day you spend your time in the public schools, every day you get Medicaid payments, Medicare payments, the Social Security payments, WIC payments, use your EBT card. You're already eating and taking a bite out of the unborn because they will have to pay the debt. They will be under taskmasters making them pay the debt. You have done this and you do it already. The reality is when they take the aborted fetuses and they use them for extracting chemicals and, you know, cells and they harvest these unborn is a product of the spirit already alive and well in your souls. This is why it doesn't help you to come out of the system of the world until you are filled with the Spirit of Christ. And if you are not giving regularly, striving daily to find other lost sheep, then you are not filled with the Spirit of Christ, because that's what he came to do. And he sat down with sinners to do it. We've had people say, oh, no, I don't want to join the Congregation of Record, which is just a free assembly. It's not a corporate entity. It's not even an unincorporated association. It's just a free assembly. It's just saying, I'm going to walk with these people, find out more about them, spend a little social time to try to know them, but I'm going to do this so that I know and can practice pure religion by free will offerings when I choose, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in me. And they say, oh, but I don't want to join this congregation because some of these people aren't perfect. Jesus sat down with sinners. You're too good to sit down with sinners? Because I can guarantee you almost any congregation of record that you connect to will be full of sinners. I mean, you're there and you're a sinner. Or unless you're going to tell me you don't sin. This is not your salvation. The congregation of record is not your salvation. Christ is your salvation. The congregation of record is just the stage on which you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is not forsaking the gathering together, but gathering together to learn what it means to be the righteous of God, what it means to be a doer of the word. We think there is strength and wealth in having one purse, one socialist state. We look at, we've got all these public schools we built with the socialist state. We've got these huge systems, but you look at the systems and how they progress. Go look in history. But you look at where you're at today, and the more you look to that socialist state, the faster you run towards evil. Proverbs 1:14. Read all of Proverbs 1. Read Proverbs, the book of wisdom, right away. First chapter, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. He says, if sinners entice thee to do this, consent not. It says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Those one purse socialists, progressive socialists, refrain thy foot from their path. You did not do that. That's why you're in trouble today. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Whose blood? Your neighbor's blood. I'm going to take a bite out of your neighbor so that I can have my social welfare. This simple truth, you know, I harp on this so much and talk about it in so many different ways. How long did John the Baptist preach in the wilderness? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Why don't we see volumes of John the Baptist? No, we don't need to. It was one message. Don't do anything by force. If your neighbor has no coat and you have extra, share. Do the same in meats. An EBT card is not the same in meats. An EBT card is provided by men who call themselves benefactors but take away from your neighbor so that you can have free bread and circuses. But it makes merchandise of the people as a surety for debt because we agreed with the spirit of covetousness. We agreed with the precepts of hell. And we need to repent. And we need to become doers of the word. 2 Peter 2:3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise, human resources, of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter was talking to them then because there was this system of social welfare run through the government of Rome, through the government of Herod the Great, where there was a Corban, and they had a Corban in Rome, that benefactors exercised authority one over the other. They forced the contributions of the people, filled the treasury, and took care of the social welfare with free bread and also circuses. In order to get it, they would give you a tesserae, a clay coin, and you could get in and get your free bread, and you could get in and see the games. Now we have a Colosseum in a box. You can just turn on the TV. If you just turn on our TV, you don't get any pictures. Unless you put a DVD in. Because we don't get any of that free reception. Proverbs 6:1, my son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, have you stricken your hand? Have you signed anything? Proverbs 11:15. He that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. What does it mean to hate suretyship? This means that you hate entitlements. You don't want entitlements. You want to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. Because that is the quantum spirit of heaven. And you want to be connected with that and draw near that. And you must sacrifice to draw near that. You still will be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're not sacrificing, I say the blood of Jesus Christ is not in you. If you are not freely giving for the welfare of others through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, the Spirit of Christ is not in you, and it is not manifesting. What we see coming out of you is covetousness, backbiting, lying. We're not supposed to have anything to do with you. Now, you're going to find people in your congregation of record that have a little of that nature still in them, but rebuke them in love and then hope that they repent more, because it's a process. Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh a surety in the presence of his friend. And that's what you've done. You become a surety for debt. You are bound in that system. Pay the debt. You can't pay the debt? Well, repent and connect to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of righteousness. Start doing things his way. Start repenting and turning around and doing things his way. Gather together in congregations of free assemblies of men and women and start contributing daily, weekly, regularly to ministers and watch what they do. Do they use those funds to spread the gospel? Do they use your blood freely given to spread the gospel, the true gospel? Not this phony baloney gospel you're getting in most of these churches that have delivered you back into the bondage of Egypt, have not told you that you should not become a surety for debt, have not told you the ways of Christ, have not told you the truth of the gospel that sets men free, that operates by the perfect law of liberty. They got that money and they just made themselves and you comfortable so that you would give them more money until you're dancing on money on the altar. But the blood that of Christ that's on that altar is the blood you shed daily by your unrighteous ways, which are not the ways of Christ, that are contrary to the ways of Christ. You know, the blood of Christ saves, but it also condemns those who slay him daily with their unrighteous behavior are not believers in Christ. They are mockers of Christ. But they use his name in vain. They are workers of iniquity. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What agreement do you have with the institutions of men that created by their hands to attain benefits? For ye are the temples of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But I see coming out of many of you who say you are Christians the ways of Satan, the ways of Nimrod, the ways of Cain, the ways of Caesar and Lamech. I don't see the ways of Christ. Oh, you get your philosophies and your doctrines and your dogmas and you memorize them and you repeat them back. But are you a doer of the word? Are you taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? And when I say one another, I'm not talking about just your little congregational club. I'm talking about all the congregations throughout the world and all the lone sheep throughout the world who are not following the ways of Christ because they are lost sheep out in the desert, bleeding for the righteousness of God. Are you trying to find them? Repent. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.